In the lead-up to the coronation of His Majesty King Charles III on Saturday, the 6th of May 2023, here on RNIB Connect Radio, we are going to focus in on a few of the crown jewels that are kept at the Tower of London that will be used during King Charles's coronation. I'm delighted to say that Charles Farris, public historian from the Tower of London who specialises in the history of the crown jewels, joins me again to give me a bit of history and background to a few of the items that will feature in the coronation ceremony. Welcome back, Charles, to RNIB Connect Radio.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's really lovely to be talking to you and your listeners today.
For our final item, we're going to focus on what might be the jewel in the crown jewels collection, which is the Imperial State Crown. Charles, how are you going to start describing this? And possibly maybe from the Cullinan diamond at the front to the Stuart sapphire on the back, perhaps?
Well, yes, let's start at the bottom and move upwards. As you say, it's a very beautiful, dazzling object. It's in a similar shape to St. Edward's crown with a circlet or band around the bottom, which then rises up into these alternating pattern of crosses and fleur-de-lis, and then two arches or four half arches, which rise up over the crown itself. And at the very top, there is again an orb topped with a cross. But whereas St. Edward's crown is mainly gold, this crown, although it is made of gold, but you can barely see that from looking at it, because it is almost completely covered in jewels and pearls and diamonds as well. So to give you a rough idea of some numbers, if I may, it includes 2,868 diamonds in beautiful little silver mounts. So basically the whole thing looks like it's made from diamonds, but it is also includes 269 pearls, 17 lovely blue sapphires, and 11 lovely green rich emeralds. And that's not taking into account some of these historic jewels, which some of which you've already mentioned as well. This crown was actually made in 1937, so a relatively recent addition to the crown jewels. It is, as I said before, a state crown, so the crown that's worn at the end of the coronation ceremony, but then again for events like the state opening of Parliament and other royal ceremonies like that. And although it's relatively new, being made in 1937, it's based on the earlier design of Queen Victoria's state crown, which was 100 years older. And it is also set with some of the most historic and famous jewels in the crown jewels. So, as requested, I will start at the bottom on the front band with the Cullinan II diamond, sometimes called the second star of Africa. And this is the second largest stone cut from the famous Cullinan diamond, which was discovered in South Africa in 1905. And although it's the second largest diamond cut from the Cullinan, it is absolutely ginormous. It weighs 317.4 carats. So what is that? It's sort of the diameter of a plum, perhaps. And it's a very large, clear, beautiful stone. Above that is a much less regular looking stone. It is what we call the Black Prince's Ruby. And that's what is that the size of? It's a little bit smaller, a small plum, shall I say, and slightly misshapen, irregular shapen. And that's called the Black Prince's Ruby. It's actually not a ruby at all. It's a famous semi-precious stone called a spinel. But this is one of the most historic jewels in the crown jewels. It was said to have been gifted to Edward the Black Prince in the 14th century. Hence, it's got its name, the Black Prince's Ruby. And it is also said to have been worn famously in the helmet of King Henry V at the Battle of Agincourt. So a very famous object within the crown jewels. So I should just mention at the top, there is another little gem set into the Black Prince's Ruby, and that's because there's a little hole drilled into it. And that might be because, or it has been said that received a feather when it was worn on Henry V's helmet, but it may also have been worn as a pendant at some point as well. So a very old and beautiful and historic gem. Let's move to the back of the crown. We have then the Stuart Sapphire, which is a very large sapphire, which is about 2 inches wide, a bit thinner. It's a sort of a rectangular shape, and that is said to have belonged to the Stuart kings and entered the crown jewels collection a little later, but a very large, beautiful, impressive stone itself. We then move to another sapphire. Let's go right to the top of the crown in the center of the cross at the top. And the cross, I should have said, is actually completely covered in diamonds, as is the orb below it. So the orb, about the size of a small apple, perhaps, completely encrusted in diamonds. And it has a cross about the same width at the top of it in this sort of auburn cross shape, completely covered in diamonds. And that's actually the cross and orb which belonged to the earlier state crown of Queen Victoria, and it was added to this crown later. So it's a nice little survival from the earlier Victoria state crown. But in the center of it is a very beautiful, large sapphire. It's about the sort of size of a broad bean. I don't know why I've gone down this vegetable and fruit analogies, but there we are. And it's a rich blue color. And that is said to have belonged to St. Edward the Confessor. And it was actually said to have been discovered in a ring that he was wearing when he was translated from one tomb to another, to a shrine, as part of his canonization process. And the ring was removed then by the monks of Westminster Abbey, and at some point came into the possession of the royal family and is now set in the top of the state crown. So one of the most historic jewels, and perhaps the oldest jewel within the crown jewels collection, but incredibly important. And then finally, I did mention that there were pearls on this crown. In fact, the band itself is made up of, it's not just a plain band, it is in a pattern of oak leaves made from diamonds and silver and gold and some platinum as well, but it's got tiny little pearl acorns all over it. So incredibly beautiful, incredibly ornate. You also have four other very large pearls as well, which are very historic, and they hang from the where the arches meet in the center of the crown at the top. They hang down, they look like sort of large misshapen pearl teardrops or raindrops. And these, legend would have it, although with lots of these legends with the crown jewels, it's not always easy to prove these things, but legend has it that these once belonged to Queen Elizabeth I and were worn either as sort of hair ornaments or as earrings. So a lot of visitors are, of course, extremely interested in Queen Elizabeth I and very excited to see these historic pearls as sort of set into the state crown on display. And this is the last crown that you see as you leave the jewel house at the Tower of London.
Charles, as you've mentioned, several of the sort of historic stones which are in the Imperial State Crown have some legends to them, and you've mentioned a few. Are there any other legends that you think listeners might be interested to know about?
There's so many wonderful stories associated with the crown jewels and the regalia and how these objects have been used throughout history. A nice story I could tell you about state crowns was George IV's coronation. He had a large, beautiful new crown made for his coronation, which was entirely covered in diamonds, thousands and thousands of diamonds. So it didn't have any coloured stones at all. And in fact, he was so pleased with his new crown. This is George IV in 1821, that he wasn't crowned with St. Edward's crown, which was often the tradition. Instead, he was crowned with his new state crown instead, which was completely made in diamond. So an interesting little story, which shows that occasionally the historic monarch can make little changes to suit their interests as well.
And I believe that when the state crown is worn, that it does slightly dazzle people. And some people have said that they might need sunglasses when they're looking at it.
Well, it's an incredibly dazzling, incredibly beautiful object. And as I said, just completely encrusted with gold and pearls and jewels as well. I mean, any crown that can have a 317 carat diamond on the front, and that's not necessarily the first thing you noticed, is pretty impressive.
The Imperial State Crown is not only just used in the coronation, as I think we may have mentioned, it's also used in other ceremonies like the opening of the Houses of Parliament. Do we know why this is so, Charles? Why sort of certain crowns are used for different occasions?
Yes, so there are a number of crowns on display in the Crown Jewels at the Tower of London, which visitors will notice when they come. Some people are surprised, and some of them have specific purposes. For example, there is the St. Edward's crown, which is only used for that actual moment of crowning itself. There is a very beautiful little crown called Queen Victoria's Diamond Crown. It's very small, much smaller than all the others. And that's because after her husband, Prince Albert, died, she didn't want to wear crowns for a long time afterwards. And in the end, they had commissioned this very little discreet diamond crown, which is a very beautiful object that was worn by her later in her life. And many of the most famous pictures of Queen Victoria in her later life are wearing this little diamond crown. But the sort of working crown of the Crown Jewels is the state crown, including the imperial state crown, which I've just described for you, which is used, as you said, for the state opening of Parliament. But it will also be worn for the procession from Westminster Abbey at the end of the coronation service. And of course, processions are an incredibly important part of coronations. They're a way for people to see all the regalia and all the objects and all the people that take part in the coronation. And they are also a way of bringing communities together to celebrate and to see all this wonderful pageantry and ceremony that's going on. And for the procession at the end of the coronation ceremony, it's the imperial state crown which is worn.
The imperial state crown will return to the jewel house at the Tower of London shortly after King Charles's coronation, and the jewel house will reopen at the beginning of the summer for a new exhibition. You can find out more about the Crown Jewels and the Tower of London by visiting hrp.org.uk/tower-of-london. Well, Charles, thank you so much for joining me again here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about the imperial state crown.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure to share with you and your listeners the history of this amazing collection, and also at this historic time being in a coronation year. So, wonderful opportunity. So I'm very grateful. Thank you.